It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
We start the show.
We start the show?
Yes.
Okay. Is that right?
And then, you know what he did? He poked me in the face.
Sarad. He's, you mean him? I did that one time when I was running a vampire game. One of the vampire characters could speak to animals.
Oh.
And she ended up talking to the woodland creatures, and there was this owl. And first of all, I had him set up kind of he was essentially the mob boss of the animals.
Oh, yeah, well, sure.
Then also, he talked like that, and he was just very... She would promise him a hamburger, because he'd never experienced it. He's like, hamburger? She's like, yeah. She's like, can I have some? Like, no. Now? I eat? No. When? Later. Okay. And so he became like her familiar, and he followed her and says, can I eat that? Is it good? Why not? He's all right?
He's not all right.
Okay.
We will remember this.
That was his thing. Anytime he got mad, he says, we will remember this. Anyway, hello, welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast that would spend like a minute and a half doing weird Senior Wences voices before even explaining what the hell's going on. I'm Evil Tony.
And I'm Evil William.
We don't know what episode number this is.
Nope.
You don't either, probably.
So. Probably not.
I'm going to guess. This is episode number...
Go ahead and guess.
12.
All right. I'm going to guess this is episode number 12.
All right, then. Should we put money on it?
Okay.
All right. If I win, you owe me $50.
Okay.
If... You win.
I owe you $50.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that'd be good.
All right.
For those of you just joining us, hi.
Hello.
We have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. People email that address with comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat. Sorry. Gotta beat an asshole kitty. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Not us, but some other dudes. Draw those note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till they're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the show. Every once in a while, they're too lazy or something, and then we get stuck doing it. So here we are. And we're pretty much like them, but evil.
Yep, the evil universe versions of those guys.
So how's your period of time been?
Good. How about you?
Terrible.
Good?
No, terrible.
Well, okay. Terrible, but also good.
I feel like this is a special episode of Super Friends where they were on Bizarro World. That was the biggest problem with Bizarro World and Bizarro Superman, is their self-awareness that it was backwards. They would sometimes talk about that fact.
Yeah, I'm like,
but if you know it's backwards, then you're not really doing it.
Well, like, and then cheating. They wouldn't be backwards about everything.
Yes, yes.
So, And then it's kind of hard to figure out how exactly does the backwards thing work. Because let's say you say what you want, what you're going to do is you're going to throw something up in the air. Yes. But you say, I am going to throw this thing into the ground.
No, you are going to not throw it into the ground, see? Or you are not going to not throw. It's terrible, is what I'm saying. Bizarro Superman, Bizarro World, worst thing humanity's ever done.
But it's essentially you do the opposite of what you say, or you say the opposite of what you're going to do.
But you pick a different access for going to be. Right. Evil Ezzy still loves Evil William.
What is up with that?
You're her boyfriend. you're the only other man she's ever met, is what it comes down to.
Oh, really?
Because she has a thing for me, but that's just because we didn't get her fixed soon enough. And because all the male cats that have lived in this house are totally gay.
Okay.
It's weird. They totally will have sex with each other and stuff. I mean, they won't really because they're fixed. Nobody's ever gone after her in that capacity. They're all 100% gay. I mean, now it's just Twiggly, but it's still true. He has stuffed animals that he'll have sex with, but never her. And she just tries to get it on with me, which is always awkward. But. Yeah, so hat?
Yeah.
All right then.
Let's get this over with.
Unless this is bizarre. God, that would be so much worse. If these episodes weren't evil version, they were bizarre. Oh my God.
Let's not pull from the hat, and then we pull from the hat.
I would punch myself in the face so much.
Bizarro.
All right, what you got?
Jazz wants to know.
What does Jazz want to know?
If the two of you were a cartoon duo, which cartoon duo would you be?
Interesting.
I don't know the answer to that question, I suppose. I mean, there's all the ones where you've got one part of the duo is, like, abusing the other one.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's one of those.
Okay.
So, like, Pinky and the Brain comes up. Ren and Stimpy.
Okay.
Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, right, sure.
I
was thinking more like Tom and Jerry or...
No, but that is...
Bugs Bunny and Daffy.
That is... Tom and Jerry is inherently... And Bugs and Daffy is inherently antagonistic, not exploitative.
Oh, okay.
Like, we're friends, in air quotes, because I just make you do whatever I want. Okay. See, so it doesn't...
I gotcha.
It's not anyone that's genuine enmity. So it's maybe like that, like, I am Weasel and I are Baboon, that short-lived... One on Cartoon Network. That might be a little obscure.
I don't know that one at all.
It could be Dora the Explorer and Boots. No, wait. Dora the Explorer and that map she has in her backpack.
And the map.
I feel like you're... I'm a map. That's what the song is. I could be Rainbow Bright, and you could be that horse.
I don't even know anything about that.
I feel like Ren and Stimpy, but it's a problem because I don't like Ren and Stimpy.
I don't really know very much about Ren and Stimpy.
We could be Phineas and Ferb.
I don't even know who that is.
Phineas and Ferb is awesome. You should watch Phineas and Ferb.
Okay.
Even without children around, Phineas and Ferb is good. Or maybe I'm Dr. Doofenshmirtz and you're Perry the Platypus.
Maybe. I don't even know what that is.
That's also from Phineas and Ferb. I don't know. What are some good cartoon duos?
I don't know. All the stuff I know is like really old and it's, as you say, they're...
There's Jerry and his nephew, but I don't feel like that doesn't work.
They're all like you're saying they're in, like you're antagonistic. Shaggy and they're Scooby. Sort of... enemies kind of thing. I'm trying to think of...
I'm not sure which of us is... You're Scooby, I think, and I'm Shaggy.
Well, I thought of them too, but I don't know how they... One exploits the other, really.
I'm frequently making you do things for Scooby Snacks.
Yes. Maybe. But he doesn't make Scooby do things for Scooby Snacks. The rest of the gang makes them both do things for Scooby Snacks.
That is true.
Snacks.
That show was so weird. Did you ever see, again, and I reference it a lot, that Mitchell and Webb look, the David Mitchell and Richard Webb sketch comedy show? They had one where they're a couple, I think, and they're in their apartment and they're planning a party and they're talking about the people they're going to invite. And they're going to invite Fred and Daphne. And then they're like, oh, and her friend Velma. It's like, no, but then that other friend of theirs will show up. He calls himself Shaggy, just constantly reeking of pot. And he has that poor dog. I think he abuses that dog. It's like they're always feeding. One time, when they were over here last time, I went into the kitchen, and they had made this giant, just ridiculous sandwich. And he is, I think it's still here. And he pulls out, like one of those, like, 3 foot tall Dagwood looking things. And like, yeah. Dog, that's cruel to feed that to a dog. It was pretty good. Slappy Squirrel and her nephew.
I don't know.
That could be us. Or Buttons and Mindy. I love that idea.
Yeah, I'm glad you're amused and I have no idea what you're talking
about. I get to be Mindy. Did you never watch Animaniacs?
Nope.
Oh, you would have loved Animaniacs.
Probably would have, but I never saw it.
Buttons and Mindy. Buttons is a dog. Mindy is a toddler. And every episode, Mindy's mom leaves and keeps Buttons in charge of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, Mindy, like, escapes and, like, wanders around and endangers herself. And the whole time, Buttons, like, is saving her. And he always just barely saves her. And he takes the brunt of whatever the damage is. And she is completely clueless about it. And eventually they end up back at home. And some little thing has happened. And the mom is mad. And he's in trouble. That's every single episode of them is that. The problem is you're hard to make into a cartoon character.
I am?
Yes, I'm very easy to make
into a cartoon character. Why do you say that? Why am I hard to make into a cartoon character?
Well, typically, if we're going to have a duo,
yeah,
one of them is going to be really stupid.
Yeah.
And you're not stupid.
Mm.
You're... Oh. I may have come up with the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I may be Professor Peabody.
And I'm Sherman.
And you're Sherman.
That might work.
Because you Sherman's not dumb, but
he's just inexperienced.
And yeah, contextually, he doesn't know shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And contextually, you don't know shit. I feel like Professor Peabody is nicer than me. Like, I feel like there are a lot of other ones that would be better suited for me. But that one, I think, works really well for you.
He can be pretty snarky, though.
My
favorite quote from him was, I might have said it on the air before, that the show starts and he says, "So, I believe introductions are in order. My name is Mr. Peabody. I assume you know yours."
And he always ended on terrible, terrible puns.
So yeah, he didn't seem to care much for his viewers. But
I feel like Rocky and Bullwinkle should be a one, but whereas
they weren't really partners, I don't think.
Well, and I feel like you could make an yeah, they were. Rocky and Bullwinkle, they were like best friends. They hung out together constantly.
Yes,
but they literally were never apart.
I'm just saying, when you watch...
If anything, I think they were codependent.
The Rocky and Bullwinkle show, you don't see very much of them except in between the shows. I guess sometimes they have little features.
Yeah, because Boris and Natasha had to try
that's
and
true,
get
that's
Moose and Squirrel.
Yeah, that's right. Boris. Hey, maybe Boris... Parts. Boris and Natasha. Natasha. I don't know which one
The problem with Rocky and Bullwinkle is I think I could make an argument for you being either one, and I couldn't make an argument for me for either one.
Yeah.
You kind of are Rocky and Bullwinkle. You could be Archie and I could be Jughead.
Maybe.
I
guess that was a cartoon after it was a comic, huh?
Yeah. I could be Thunder the Barbarian and you could be Ookla the Mock.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know Thundar? Thundar was... I loved the show when I was a kid.
I've heard
of it. It was only when I got much older...
Did you see that? Did you watch that thing I sent you, the thing where Will Wheaton was talking about his RPG show?
I saw enough to see that's what it was. I haven't watched it for real because it's huge.
Because the world he's created is going to incorporate, or he was
thinking, so it's not a bunch of different ones. He's just doing a campaign, basically.
He's doing an RPG show, and it's going to, the game he's playing is something they're kind of making up. They're using... Okay. He went to the people who created the system for Dragon Age.
Okay.
Asked them to make it more generic. Then he got together with some writers and he created this world that's sort of an amalgam of or was inspired by the world of heavy metal from the movie.
Oh.
And Thundar the Barbarian.
Thundar the Barbarian was one of the earliest... fantasy sci-fi things, yeah. Because it's ostensibly fantasy, because it's Thundar the Barbarian and his sidekick is the sorceress, who I think her name is the sorceress, and Ookla the Mock, who's basically Chewbacca, but it's actually set in a post-apocalyptic future, and they occasionally encounter advanced technology. And they encounter a lot of wizards, many of whom use technology instead of magic. Mm. But yeah, I think a meteor strike happens or whatever, and it throws the moon out of whack, and the moon is up there now, and it's in two pieces. and I know the physics is terrible, but this was like the late 70s, so. Jack Kirby came up with this.
Of course he did.
Really awesome, and, yeah, and just the whole concept of it, later I'm like, this was really kind of advanced for the time.
Sophisticated.
Yeah, of an idea. And yeah, Thunder the Barbarian, he had the Sun Sword, which was basically a lightsaber. It was a hilt of a sword, and then it would have this sort of like rainbow-colored blade that came out of it. The Sun Sword. And he said lots of things very emphatically, he'd say. His epithets were Lords of Light and Demon Dogs, and frequently referred to wizards as Wizard, because he did not like wizards. He was like, curse you and your foul magics, Wizard! And he would say,
he really said that.
Ookla, we ride! Yes, seriously, no, there's everything he said. Everything he said was very, in fact, and then the sorceress was a little more normal, and then Ookla would just say, a lot. That was pretty awesome. Thundar the Barbarian. I could be Alf and you could be the rest of that family.
In the cartoon version of the...
Oh, no, in that, I don't know. I guess we did say cartoon and duo, so I was completely inaccurate all around.
Well, there was an Alf cartoon, but it was like a prequel. It was like a prequel. He was back on the planet.
He was
planet.
Gordon.
Yeah. Gordon Shumway. Lives in outer space.
Yes, I watched that thing. It was weird-ass show.
You're really enjoying this question, and I'm having a hard time
really
coming
am.
Up with stuff.
There was a Saturday
question,
morning cartoon called Droids.
Yeah, Droids, yeah. I never watched it, but I heard of it.
I did. We could be R2 and C-3PO.
We could be.
I'm totally R2.
No, you're not.
I am totally R2. You are C-3PO to all hell. You are the C-3PO-est of...
Wow. What would that be all. Like if I was C-3PO and you were R2-D2 and it was just like we are now, except I'm the only one who would be able to understand what you're saying?
Yep. So just like we are now. That would be rough for you because I say a lot of things you don't want to say. And so people would say, what did he say? And you'd be like,
yeah, I either wouldn't tell them or I might even.
He basically just said all the swears.
All the swears.
And then stuff about sex.
Vulgar stuff. I'm not going to repeat all of it.
Yeah. Oh, he just threatened you there. It was nasty, so I don't want to say, but he threatened you.
What are you doing here? I can see you're serving drinks. I love that.
You know what I'm suddenly thinking of?
What?
Bubba Feets. Bubba Feets. Yeah, so Boba by the Foot shows up and I'm confused. Recently, I heard that because they're going to make spin-off Star Wars movies now.
Okay.
And apparently the second one is supposed to be a Boba Fett origin story.
Okay.
But I'm like, we had that in episode 2.
Seems like it.
Kid, yeah. Dead dad, picked up a helmet, the end.
But the head should have been still in. It should have just fallen out as soon as you picked it up. I was kind of thinking, well, this is going to be frightening. But no, he picks up the helmet and the head doesn't fall out.
There
so
you go.
They must have been strapped in. I don't know.
Nice. No, it's a Lego thing. Like there's a little
okay, well,
bump on the top of his head.
And then, of course, there's no blood because it cauterized when the lightsaber goes through.
Of course. Star Wars is not that good.
No. Not really.
Of course, my big one when I was a kid was Buck Rogers. That does not hold up super well.
Nope.
Pretty hilarious.
We've talked about it, I think, before.
All right, let's do something else. As much as I've been entertained by this one.
I'm sorry I wasn't able to come up with any good ones.
He's always sorry. All right.
I am always sorry.
This one is from Coffee.
Oh. Wow. It seems like it's been a while since we had one from... This new listener or old listener who writes in? Or?
Mm.
Okay.
Probably just some dude alone in his basement. I don't even know. Okay. What are your plans for this summer? Given we have no idea when this is.
Yeah, well...
Which summer?
Which summer are they talking about? Well, the one that's coming up for us in whatever time period that'll be. Plans.
I'm trying to decide if I go with a whole in the evil universe, we're in a different hemisphere, so like it's a different
year. I don't have any plans.
Our Earth is exactly like your Earth. It just has a giant goatee on it.
There are projects I'm working on that I'm so anxious to get done that I'm not even thinking about anything else. And I don't have any vacation plans or anything like that, so... That's probably all I'm going
to
be doing.
A fair bit of vacations tend to happen for me in the summer. I don't know. I'm just in a better mood than in the winter
because
I like all the light.
Summer's
swim.
Summer's not my... See, I mean...
You and the producer both.
Yeah, I could stay indoors the whole summer and to not get a sunburn or to not be uncomfortable
out in
the heat.
That's the problem. I'm like, oh, it's finally warming up, and then it gets really hot. Really
yeah, and
fast.
You can't go out really do anything.
The pool helps with that, although right now the heater's not.
Although, cold, I mean, when I see it sunny outside, like anyone else, I want to be out there to do something. But if it, you know, I took a walk the other day. You know, I was just outside for an hour, and I got a sunburn. And that's not cool. You know?
You know they have stuff for that.
I know, but I'm just saying. But, you know, it's usually...
You heard it here first. William hates the sun.
I do. I am not a fan of the sun. I could live a lot farther north and probably be really, really happy.
Except sometimes, further north, the sun would be out even longer.
But then... it makes up for it being.
I know, but I'm saying the net effect is the same.
I suppose.
You have the 24 hour. I still don't. Like, I've seen it a couple of times. TV shows that are actually there, like reality shows or whatever, that are up in Alaska when the midnight sun happens.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't, like they're out, it's daytime, and they're like, oh, it's 3 a.m. And I'm just like, I don't think you're lying, but I don't, I don't believe it. Like, because it just looks like daytime.
Yep.
So I've just got their word for it. What is up, little bit? Did you have stuff to say?
She just wants attention.
Yeah, as always.
Yep.
She wants attention long enough to tell you, get away from me. All right, so we're not doing super good on our
No, but it's nice of you to ask, Coffee, what our summer plans are. I'm sorry we don't really have... Oh, well, I'm going to go to China this summer because I've saved up all my vacation days. And
I just love communism. The other day I saw a thing that said, your mama's so classless, she could be a Marxist utopia. What you got?
Do you have a favorite artist?
Do I?
I don't.
Who said it?
Doesn't say.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Do you have a favorite artist? I presume when people say artist,
Patrick Nagel.
When people say artist and they don't qualify it in any way, they usually mean a painter.
Fine arts.
Yeah. A painter of some kind, right?
Or a photographer, I think you get away with. Or a sculptor.
I do not have a favorite artist, as in painter.
I don't know that I have a favorite. I in all seriousness, was way into Patrick Nagel when I was younger.
Really?
But, you know, it was the time period. I think most people were. Yeah, I thought, oh, man, all these awesome-looking women. Pale skin and the dark hair and panthers and shit. And,
seriously?
I feel like Patrick Nagel, for my time, was the boy version of Lisa Frank.
Because
It was all, like, you know, cats and, like, feral cats and hot women for the 80s, you know? I don't know.
I appreciate painting. I mean, you know, if I go to an art gallery that has paintings, I enjoy them. I appreciate the skill and the method and all that stuff. I don't have a favorite.
I am a big fan of artist Beth Drilling. I would recommend you guys look her up. She does very good stuff. I believe she's got a website out there. Beth Drilling, all spelled exactly like you would expect. Beth and Drilling, as in drilling for oil.
I do have to say that some of the art that I've appreciated most is in the form of, like, Drew Struzan, who does, like, movie posters.
Oh, yeah.
I really like his stuff, but I realize that's kind of not valid. And also Alex Ross, who does a lot of sort of... He imagines superheroes. That's mostly what he does, superhero stuff. And tries to portray them as realistically as possible, like how they might actually look if they were real and how they'd dress and stuff. I really like his stuff a lot.
My inclination was to say some more sort of pop art, but I feel like that's an outdated term now.
Pop art?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't think you can get away with using that term now. In anything, really, you know, in this age of niche culture, thanks to the internet, like, I'm not sure there is what qualifies as sort of mainstream art or modern versus, you know, classical in the same way.
Yeah, I don't know.
What has always stuck with me, I learned to really like Picasso's cubist works. And the reason it stuck with me is I really didn't. I was like, You know, I kind of like most of it. I didn't really want to broadcast it, but it was kind of like, I don't get it. Why? What is the point? And then I happened to get to see a showing that had the ones there, the actual paintings. And I ended up staring at this one for like 20 minutes. I don't even know why, because again, it was like, what's the point? But I just stared at it, and eventually I was like, oh my god, I really like this. And it's something in it snapped, and then I could sort of appreciate a lot of it. And I mean, not that I can speak to it, but I get a lot out of it now. maybe it's a little gauche, but I'm a pretty big fan of a lot of the Impressionists. Pretty big Monet fan. I got a thing for landscapes. Turner is one I really enjoy. You guys have no idea how close my microphone is to Twiglet's anus right now. It's very weird. Makes me uncomfortable. Who's your favorite comic book artist?
Bill Watterson.
Ah. Who's your favorite superhero comic book artist?
Well, I mean, you know, when I was talking about Alex Ross, he does illustrations, like, you know, he might do a cover or a poster or something. Yeah. He doesn't really so much do actual comic books. So that's I don't think I have a favorite one of those. But there are good ones, and there are ones I don't like, but...
When I was a kid... The one that we all had to like was Jim Lee.
Yeah, and I like
Jim Lee's gone on, but that's the thing. Jim Lee's not an artist now. Jim Lee's a giant comic juggernaut.
Well, but he works for DC still, and he does do some stuff.
Does he work for DC? Back in the day, he was Marvel.
Well, he works for DC now.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure. I watch DC has a YouTube video feed called DC All Access, and I'm pretty sure they've had interviews with him a lot too. Worked as an employee of DC, but he does things for them. But I mean, he's more of a boss now.
He's much more of a controversial figure than he was.
But he did Hush, right?
I don't know.
I think.
But back in the day, he was just this awesome artist, and everybody just loved him. And I couldn't have told you his stuff from anybody else's stuff, but all my friends loved him. So I was like, oh yeah, Jim Lee's awesome.
Yeah, he's good. I wouldn't say that my favorite.
Can you hear this cat purring?
I can, yeah.
It's very loud. He's getting louder as he gets older. So I don't really understand it. When you go to an art gallery or a museum, describe to me the process by which you view the art.
The process?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Particular pattern, particular distance from pieces, length of time spent, that kind of thing.
Well, I do try, if I'm going to go to a gallery, I do try to take some time with each piece and try to understand why it's there, you know? What's important about this piece, and why did the curator or whoever decide this should be up on the wall? Sometimes I, you know, feel like I kind of already know, or like it seems obvious what it is, and I'll just move on right on to the next one. Unless I really like it, and I might just look at it because I like it. But for the most part, I'm there to experience things that, you know, I don't know, challenge me, I guess you could say. I mean, things that might not normally come to mind when I think of art hanging on the wall, you know.
Okay.
So I want to look at it, and I want to figure it out. I want to find out what it is that someone who I presume is smarter than me about these things, what they're seeing in this. So, and as far as that goes, I might get closer or farther away, or, you know, because I also presume if I'm in a gallery, they've paid attention to how they're lighting it and everything else, so they know what they're doing when it comes to that. And sometimes I'll figure it out, and sometimes I won't. And how much time I give it depends on how much progress, I guess, I think I'm making. And if it looks like, okay, I'm not going to figure this out, I'll just move on to the next one. But I'm usually trying to, I want to experience something different, something new. I want to sort of stretch my my thinking when it comes to art, just because that to me, that's the whole point of going to a gallery, really, unless you're going there to see something specific.
Yeah, yeah.
Why, do you have a process, or?
I think I do, and in some ways it's very similar to yours, in some ways it's very different. It's less involved, that's for sure. I've kind of cultivated, I mean, this has come over time where I've had to sort of say to myself, okay, why am I going? What do I want to get out of this? Mm-hmm. 'Cause I used to do it sort of the way everybody does. You sort of just go through and you look at everything, and it's sort of the number of exhibits divided by the amount of time, you've been there. So yeah. I don't do that anymore now. In fact, most times when I go to museums or galleries, I flat out assume I'm not going to see everything. I'm not even going to see everything in the section I pick.
Yeah.
You know, and I go and I look, and I just stare at things for a little while, maybe a minute or two, until either I feel like this is interesting,
mm-hmm.
in which case I will keep staring, or I feel like either it's not interesting, or in this 1 minute I've gotten everything I feel like I'm getting this, and then I move on.
That's kind of what.
And yeah, then if I find stuff, I will stare for. I mean, I've stared 10-15 minutes at something if I really am getting something out of it, and then. But that's it. It's just sort of a follow my nose kind of thing, and then. I mean, at some point I decided that was the point. Is to get something from the experience. And I'm not going to do that on a pre-planned route.
That's right.
Or order.
That's right.
So I just go and I'm like, okay, what's it going to do? And I try and give it a good minute. But, I mean, then there are some that I'm like, I don't give a damn. And I move on.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah.
And then see what happens. And then just sort of, you know, follow my gut. I look at it as long as I want to be looking at it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find it very rewarding. I still struggle with, especially if it's a place that I don't go to often. Sometimes it's a place that I'm like, I will never be back here again. The rest of my life. Yep. And so I struggle with the idea. I'm like, oh, I didn't see everything or whatever. Yeah. But I'm like, no. Because I would rather get something out of the handful I did.
Right.
Than... I'm not going to remember them all. And so it's silly to just be able to say, oh, yeah. I went there and I saw all, like, what was your favorite? I don't know.
Now, I'm going to say something that's really controversial here, so I hope it doesn't...
I'm married.
I hope it doesn't offend you or anyone else, but there's kind of a movement kind of growing, and I think I agree with these people in their criticism of, you know, art, and that is... I think that someone somewhere needs to maybe try to create a piece that doesn't have a goatee. I mean, they don't all have to have goatees, do they? I mean, I realize it's kind of taboo to say something like that, but I have noticed myself when I go to a gallery, the goatees are starting to get a little distracting.
I have always assumed it was biological. You just think it's a... The goatees are cultural.
It's not that. I think that, however, the goatees are there, they could not be there. I mean, someone could make that creative choice.
How does that work?
Well, I'm not a painter or artist. I don't know, but there are a lot of people who are smarter than me who insist that it can be done and want to know why it isn't done.
Hey, I'll take a look if somebody says they got one. I mean, I'll look.
Really?
But I mean, I can't even picture what's behind the goatee.
Well, I'll be honest with you. when it was first suggested, I wasn't offended. I was just baffled. Kind of like you are right now.
I'm evil. I don't really have a strong moral on this.
But then when I thought about it, well, if these people can just conceive of the notion that it must be possible. I mean, I don't know how either, but it must be. So if it is and nobody's doing it, why? I mean, is there someone forcing artists to do it this way? Or
oh, I assume. Which, to be fair, I don't want to mess with that. Force coercion of artistic expression is something I believe very strongly in.
I know, and that's why it's so controversial, but, is because...
I feel like I could be, like, a warlord in charge of artists, you know, and, like, you whip them and say, paint faster and stuff. But, and just out of just some weird, perverse whim, say, you don't... Do it without the goatee.
Yes, exactly. Why couldn't that happen?
I don't know. I feel like...
I realize that, yes, we have to break these...
Get to.
Yes, get to break these artists' spirit. I mean, that's the whole point. Yeah. But why couldn't you break their spirit...
Without
the goatees?
I...
You see what I'm saying? It seems like...
It's never even occurred to me, but I suppose...
Because there's not just one way to be evil. I mean... You know,
No.
So we don't have to...
Evil is a rainbow.
Yes. So let's
sorry, I cracked myself.
Spread our demon wings and do something a little different. You know, spread we don't have...
Demon wings.
Because when you think about it...
You know that good people don't specify that they're like angel wings.
Well, they don't have to. Ruts are for good people. Right? The goods get in the ruts. That's why nobody likes them. They're boring. That's why they're bad sometimes, because you have to be bad to get out of the rut.
Yeah.
So how can we, in the evil universe, get into these ruts? I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Wait. Are you confused about how it is that we have done this, or are you requesting the instructions on how to get into a rut?
No. I'm not... Either one of those things. I am critiquing our culture in how it's supposed to be evil, and yet it's doing this thing that goods do.
Okay.
Getting in ruts. So it's not being very evil by getting in a rut.
But don't goods also paint without goatees?
That's another thing. Goods can paint with or without goatees.
What do they look like?
I don't know, but they can do whatever they want when it comes to painting, apparently. But we have to have goatees on everything.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, in most museums, like 60% of it is just crucifixes in jars of urine. It's getting a little old.
With goatees.
Well, yeah. Sorry. I didn't know I had to specify, but you're right for the conversation.
I'm just making a point.
No, you're right.
If I went to a museum and there was a crucifix in a jar of urine, which there always is, as you pointed out, but it didn't have a goatee, it would blow my mind.
Little crucifixes?
It would blow my mind, and people would be lining up around the block to see the crucifix in the jar of urine without a goatee. It would revolutionize evil art.
I would see it. I'm not saying I wouldn't see it, but I can't even fathom at this point.
Well, maybe you should do that warlord making people do art without goatees
thing. Paint faster without
goatees. Yeah. Maybe you should try it.
I got a lot of irons in the fire.
Right I now. Know, but...
No, but I mean, instead of whipping, I can just use iron.
Yeah.
Branding.
Then you have some to spare for the artists who...
I got a lot of irons
in
the fire.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Yeah, I thought you meant that the irons were for other purposes.
I am flush with hot iron pokers.
And nobody else to use them on.
No, I mean, I got people. I got spares. I know a guy.
Okay.
I get a steady supply of irons in the fire.
Well, I think maybe you should do that. I think it would really shake things up around here.
I have a lot of jet fuel, and nothing heats steel beams like jet fuel.
No. Listen.
I cracked myself up with a 9/11 conspiracy
joke. I think I know a couple people who...
Would paint faster if we poked them without irons.
Who drink a lot of beer.
Well, yeah.
Who could easily fill a jar, a big one.
Yeah.
I think I can even get my hands on some crucifixes.
All right.
All you have to do... Prevent
the goatee.
Use your irons. Get them. Yeah.
Well, that's just the goatee. Easy then. anytime they get near the jar to paint on the goatee, I just stab them with a...
Yeah, see? Iron. See, you barely have to work.
Yeah, no, that's...
This is a plan.
I'll put out a lawn chair in front of it. This is a plan,
yeah.
Probably have to be at the museum, though, too, because people are going to want to deface it with a goatee.
Oh!
Reface it, I guess.
That's awesome. I mean, that would be great.
Yeah, so I just, poke them.
That would be an added benefit to having non-goatee art, would be all of the people who are outraged coming to put goatees on the art.
We could even have a sign say, please put a goatee on here. And then they come up and I poke them with
it. Yeah, I suppose. It's better if there's no... better if the sign says, don't do it.
You think that'll work?
Oh, yeah. All absolutely. Right. I think it will. Yeah, this is going to be great.
Yeah. Art. All right, let me draw another one. It's my turn, right?
Yes. I hope this doesn't get censored. Oh, it's just playing over there in the other universe, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever. This one is also from Coffee. Why won't Tom Cruise stop appearing in the Mission Impossible movies?
Why would he?
Yeah, money.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise crazy. Just be glad it's him, not you.
I can't think of a reason he would stop.
If you had Tom Cruise's troubles, you might be Tom Cruise crazy, too.
So, why do you think Coffee thinks that he should stop being
in them? Well, okay.
Because they're not any good and he should...
I've never seen any of the Mission Impossible films. Any of them.
The first one was all right. The second one was not.
I am assuming... she thinks either they are not good because of him, or at least that he is not good in them. And as to why he won't stop, though, I mean, I assume they give him just fuck tons of money.
Well, and he might not realize how bad they are.
Well, but would you even care? I mean, and there's
some people care.
They're not bad at the box office.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't... If he doesn't really need more money...
No, that is probably true.
And if he could be working on something else that is also paying a lot of money but is going to be better received...
Which he does.
So...
I mean, he does other movies.
So there's no reason for him to do it if he could be doing something else that pays as good or better, at, you know, instead of doing this.
He runs really fast in every movie.
The only thing I didn't like about the first one was I thought the team they started out with, and there's going to be a spoiler here. The team they started out with that...
I feel like we've even talked about this.
That
before.
They killed off right away.
Yeah.
That would really have been a great team to have for the whole movie, and it was just seemed so stupid.
Prequel.
It's like, well, let's make the... Because that's what Mission Impossible is. It's a whole team's worth of people.
Yeah.
And then what you promise, even in the beginning of the movie, to have something cool like that with some pretty cool characters right out of the gate... But then you kill everybody and say, oh, no, sorry, this was just going to be a Tom Cruise movie. We don't care about anyone else but Tom Cruise.
Also.
And then the second one was terrible. And
I'm assuming
I don't know about the third one.
Inaccurately titled.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they complete the mission, therefore it was possible.
Well, that's true even of the original TV show. It's impossible for anyone but this team.
Do you... Here's the thing.
That's why they get the job, because it's supposedly
I remember
impossible.
Exactly... one episode of Mission Impossible.
I don't remember any in detail, but I remember watching it.
I don't think I did.
Oh.
Except this one episode.
Okay.
I think that may be why, and I only remember bits of it, but what I remember is they had a guy they were going after, and for reasons I totally don't remember why... they had to convince that guy that Peter Graves was Satan.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they did it with like lots of tricks and stuff so he could do that. And the only bit I really remembered with it is that they put a thing in his shoe so that when he like moved his the ball of his foot on his shoe, it would burn a hoof print into the carpet. And then, but it also had a chemical in it. So, like, because it was, like, smoking. And the guy, the Mark, leaned down to smell it. And it smelled like brimstone. But there was some chemical in it. So it made him black out for a minute. Which they used to make it look like Peter Graves just disappeared. Because he was looking up at Peter Graves. And, like, his vision blurred. And when it came back, Peter Graves was gone. Like, this was the real episode.
I don't know.
They were trying to convince him he was the devil. I don't even remember why exactly. Like, but that was the plan. Convince him he was the devil.
Hmm.
With special shoes. And they were just like loafers. But they made a cloven hoof print in the carpet.
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, Peter Graves.
What else? Another one or no? Or are we done?
Okay, we'll do one more.
One more?
Yeah, figure it
one
out.
One more.
What'd you got?
Do you pay much attention to elections outside of the U.S.? I do try to. I do try to. This is anonymous.
I occasionally hear, like, I know enough people outside that I get bits and pieces, usually from Brits.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, no. But in general, I don't pay a lot of attention to elections in the U.S.
Yeah, I try to pay attention to elections outside the U.S. because, I mean, they are relevant. I mean, a lot of Americans probably don't think they are, but they are. And it's interesting. Well, I mean, it probably should go without saying why it's interesting, how it's interesting, and why people should care. But I do pay a little bit of attention to it. Not to the extent where, you know, I'm reading a lot of commentary from people within that country about who they think is going to win or what this, you know, or anything
well,
like that.
Well, just in general, it's probably good to avoid pundits.
Yeah, I kind of get an idea of, you know, especially if you listen to BBC World Service, you're going to hear about elections in other countries and who they think is going to win and who, you know, why this person's running, why they think this person's going to win, who the opposition is, what they think their chances are, what's at stake here for this country if this guy wins over this guy, and the fallout of elections too. I try to pay attention to that. Like, is someone going to get kicked out of the country now after the election's over?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, those things. Or if the parliament, or it's usually a parliament that's put in power, if anyone thinks it's going to last very long, things like that. I do try to follow that whenever I hear about things happening in this, that, or the other country. But,
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say I cover... I mean, I don't know how many countries there are in the world. 100, 200... Do you know what the number is?
I want to say it's...
Like UN-recognized countries? I want to say it's something like 138 or...
I want to say 173.
Or something
I think
like
it's
that.
Less than 200.
You think... I do too, but maybe I'm completely off by that. And obviously, I don't cover
every...
If
we're wrong, it's because we're talking about the evil world.
Obviously, I don't follow every single one of those elections, but...
You don't keep track of Sierra Leone's?
No. Well,
Liechtenstein.
If it's in the news, and I don't mean the United States, I mean like BBC World Service or or Al Jazeera or whatever. If it's in the news, I'll probably, and if they care about it, I'll probably be interested in knowing what's going on with it.
I will continue to not care about all of it. So, yeah, I think that's it.
Okay.
We should probably call it.
All right.
Those other guys will be back next time. So keep listening. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Tell us about your own art experiences. Have you seen art without goatees? If so, tell us what it was like.
Well, they over there, they have. It's just over
here. How do you know so much about them?
We've talked about this before.
You got a pen pal?
No, I listen to the show and I, you know, glean some things from it.
That's weird.
I know I shouldn't, but I can't help it. Well, it's a compulsion, really.
Yeah. I don't care.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.